Hi, folks. It's Scott from buyandselldvc.com. Have you ever thought of giving your family a lifetime of Disney vacations? What if we told you you can lock in today's rate for the next 50 years? Again, that's buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined, I don't even know who this is. We're just going to bring him on. This might be the first time. Scott Ferrioli? Scott Ferrioli? Ferrioli.
Yep, you've got it.
No, oh, good. Well, welcome to the show. It's nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Scott's been on a bunch of times. Scott is the president and owner of DVC-Rental and Buy and Sell DVC. But you're going to get a little bit of Disney. You're going to get a little bit of DVC. You're going to get a heck of a lot of Christmas. And believe it, of those three, I would say Scott would probably be most knowledgeable in the Christmas version, and you're going to catch why in a little bit. So, no, and I joke, you've been on a bunch of times, but it's always good to see you, buddy. And Scott, share, what's going on in your life? What's good?
Not too much going on. We just got back a little while ago from going to Dollywood. The last couple of years, except over during pandemic time, we've started going to Dollywood around the week of Thanksgiving, because everything's decorated for the holidays at Dollywood up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. So we did that. That's nice as usual.
Well, hang on. You undersell it. You say nice as usual. I saw your posts, your reels, and like it seemed to hit a chord with people because you had some really amazing. So tell us all about this. I mean, why do you go? Like, what do you see? What do you do there?
Well, there's a lot of stuff to do outside in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Lots of like shopping. It's kind of like Disney. You know, there's lots of places, you know, go karts and buy this, and you know, 30 places that sell homemade fudge and souvenirs. So there's lots of touristy stuff, but it's up in the Smoky Mountains, and it's the whole area is very, very nice, very, very hilly, and just very, very different than living down in Orlando. And Dollywood's a great theme park. A lot more roller coasters than Disney, and a lot more hills and walking. But they decorate really, really nicely for the holidays. Tons and tons of lights. I mean, not as much as like the Osborne lights used to be at Disney, but the entire park is decorated in lights. Where at Disney, you know, like, you know, you'll be walking through an area and then there'll be like one, a tree up, or you know, there'll be a lit up wreath. Like every building is outlined with lights. Mm-hmm. So they do a really, really, really great job on their Christmas stuff. So we found it several years ago, and we've kind of made it like a yearly tradition to go to around the Christmas time. This year we flew back on, Thanksgiving. This year we flew back on Thanksgiving. The previous years we've stayed and had our Thanksgiving there and then come home like the next day. But so different than Disney, because it's an old-fashioned country-style Christmas. You know, they've got Dolly. Sometimes the Dolly song is playing in the park, or just more like country Christmas songs. And they've got, you know, like glass blowers there and people doing leather work. And it's very, very old fashioned style, which is how I like my Christmases. I have two trees up right now, but like my main tree is always, you know, the old C9 colored lights and the old style ornaments, like aluminum style reflectors behind some of the lights, old blinker bulbs. Like I love the old-fashioned style Christmas. Like my other tree now is all just white lights, which I've kind of enjoyed as well. But just for Christmas for me is that old-fashioned Christmas, colorful. Some people may want to call it gaudy or whatever, but that's Christmas to me. And going to Dollywood is just like an old-style Christmas feel to it. So it's really, really nice.
Scott, I talked about this before. Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri is very similar in that aspect. A lot of elevation change. And you're right. When I first walked in, I don't have a experience at Dollywood, but they used to be, I think they used to be sister parks, and they offered a lot of same things. And I immediately pulled away from there and said, this is better than any Disney park's ever been at the holidays, because it's so immersive. You're right. They're in costume. He's hitting the metal forge, you know, making Christmas ornaments and like bells, like in the park. And like, you know how you walk through the mall and they have the Nutty Bavarian, the guy that's roasting the almonds, and the, like, yes, you have that essence and that smell in every corner of the park. You're like, how do they do this? This is amazing. So I had the same experience. It really is pretty fantastic.
I do want to check out Silver Dollar City. And I shared some video around the Park of the Lights, and that by far got the most views on any post pretty much I've ever done on Facebook. And I was like, really? Of course, a Dollywood post blows up. It came for something for my business, but it was perfectly fine. But somebody said, like, oh, you got to check out the sister one, you know, Silver Dollar City. I'm like, I really do have to do that. So that's definitely on my radar.
Yeah, pretty special.
I've heard it's very similar, very special. Just I'm going, that's going to be even colder, because, you know, living in Florida, going to Tennessee, was it's colder every year. But now I'm like, that's Missouri, right?
Exactly. That's Southern Missouri. So I'm glad you said that. Something to throw at you right here. This is like literally off the Disney topic here. But we were at Silver Dollar City, and you can buy the annual pass. We didn't have that. We bought the day ticket. One of the days we bought like a 3-day pass the first day. You went into the parks, and none of the coasters and none of the attractions were running. They let you in the park.
Oh, because it was too cold?
Yeah. They collected full fee. They let you in the park. But they were like, yeah, you know, if it goes above like 33 degrees or 35 degrees, we'll let the coasters run. And like the forecast was like 32. So you were just hoping, nope, nothing all day long. So wow. Maybe they had five, six attractions running the entire day, you know, like the carousel and whatnot. But you were just walking around the park. And they collected full fee for that. There was no refund. You had an option, though, but they didn't mislead you. They literally said before you walked in, none of these things are going today. Do you want to still come in the park? And you were like, yeah, well, let's hope. Mm-mm. Didn't work out that way. So before you make that big trip in that air flight, there are some days if you catch a cold snap. So anyways, and back to your C9 bulbs. This is like the Christmas show, right? It's going to be the Christmas show. I agree with you. We have LEDs on a few trees. We have LEDs on the side of the house. You know what I noticed with the LED bulbs?
What?
They don't light up. Like, you don't get glow from them. They have this weird aura, but it doesn't actually illuminate anything around them. There's nothing like an incandescent C9 bulb or C7 that literally when you touch it, you're like, ah, as you burn your hand, it is the best version of the Christmas tree bulb. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, it's got that nice glow to it. I have both my trees lit right now, and I'm looking at it as I'm talking to you. I'm looking at the glow of it. There's nothing better than that little the soft glow of the old bulbs.
Okay, we're going to go and jump from that spot. In the second half of the show today, we're going to actually get Scott's version of top 10 Christmas movies. He might even have a Disney movie or two tossed in there. But in the pre-show...
I didn't know this was going to be a top 10. You said just come
on. Hang on. In the pre-show, Scott's got like a top 50 list that he's. So here's what you don't know about Scott. Yeah, he's the president of the DVC retail or resale company and the rental company. He literally starts sending me screenshots and pictures in like August of Christmas movies.
I really do. He's not lying. I do.
It is true. So, and like, you know, the Hallmark Channel. Yeah. Like, I think that was made for Scott and Shannon. They literally watched. It's. I've not seen any other person that does this, but like it starts in the summertime for this guy. But anyways, before we discuss that, I know they make you happy. And that's cool. That's why you're on today, because I need a Christmas movie expert. So I'm hoping Die Hard's one of your movies.
Die Hard's not on the list. Shannon and I had this discussion this morning. Like, Chris is going to mention Die Hard and ask you if it's a Christmas movie. And I'm going, I don't think I've seen Die Hard in 16 years, so I don't remember a ton about it, but yeah, it's not on my list.
Oh, I just saw a post the other day, Prometheus, they said, is a Christmas movie. And I said, you have seen Prometheus?
Yes, sir.
Idris Elba is decorating a Christmas tree in Prometheus. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, if you squint really, really hard, if you squint hard, you could include it in a list. But okay, we're going to leave it alone. Let's talk about DVC, if you don't mind. We're going to bring this to it.
You just combine the Aliens movies with Christmas. I need a moment to think about this and take this all in. I got to watch Prometheus today.
You will be watching Prometheus, and you'll probably be watching Die Hard soon enough, too. So, but first, Disney Vacation Club. Let's talk about this time of the year. We're talking Christmas time. And, you know, I want to get an example of what things you're going for in terms of buying, whether the market's been up, whether it's been down, and I'd like to know a few prices, if you don't mind. So let's hit up, just educate people on Disney Vacation Club. Who is your typical renter right now? Are they renting for the holidays? Are they renting for spring break? Or are they renting for summer vacation right now? And is there availability right now in early December for the holidays? And, oh my God, we need to take a trip, or is it gone at this point?
Well, the answer to all of your questions pretty much is yes. It's been all over the place. The best way to explain it is that the majority of the reservations we've been booking have been confirmed reservations. I don't know the number, maybe it's 75% have been reservations that we already have secured. You know, the other 25%, people come in, say, I want to, you know, put these dates, they put the dates in there, they see what's available, and they book it. Mm-hmm. Whereas our team has done a really good job. Our team kind of noticed that the confirmed reservations were what was selling recently. So they said, how about we start pushing confirmed reservations a little bit? So we've had the girls going out there, and, you know, we're getting some discounted rooms, and they're pushing on social media, and it sells. So they'll go out there, and they'll do another one, and it sells. So they've been really all over the place, and we had a lot for early December. That was really hot about a week or two ago. We were able to get some last-minute confirmed reservations in, and I mean, we would list them, and within 10 minutes, they sold.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, because the confirmed reservations have been doing really well, they've been going out there, and they've been looking for summertime and finding some Grand Floridians and finding some beach clubs available. And we've been booking those and promote them with some discounted points that we have, selling them immediately. So the confirmed, I mean, I did a DVC Weekly episode of this the other day, because the confirmed reservations have been so hot recently, and people are replying to these posts on social media, going like, "Oh man, I'm just waiting for you to come out with some July reservations." I'm going, "You don't have to wait for the confirmed reservations. At any time, go on our page, click the book button, and you can check availability for your specific dates. You don't have to sit there and wait for us to say, oh, he just posted this, but he's 3 days off at a different resort." Mm-hmm. You can book exactly what you want. These confirmed reservations are just stuff that happens to be locked in already.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been pushing that, and that's been what's been the biggest seller recently. So there's been a lot of last-minute stuff. We have a lot of confirmed reservations over Christmas, which hasn't been super hot at the moment. We sold a couple recently. It's just, I think a lot of times, even though they're discounted, the as you know, as a DVC member, the amount of points to stay over Christmas is the highest of the year. You know, that's when it charges the most points per night. So that means it's going to cost the most per night to stay there. So a lot of times staying the week of Christmas is not always a big seller for us.
Okay. People
think, yeah, everybody's going to Disney at Christmas. You know, that's got to be your biggest seller. It's typically not. The people who come to us are looking for great deals. They know they can get great discounts. So when they stay the week of Christmas, they go, that's not a really good deal. I mean, even though we're still, 40, 50% cheaper than Disney, it's so much more expensive than the other times of the year that they go, we're going to wait till a different season.
I had wondered that if people were still buying for the holiday season, just based on the holiday is often thought of as since the kids are off of school for a week and a half, 2 week period, that's the big vacation for the year. And you would tend to know that reservation or that vacation plan September, August. You tend to think that. I wouldn't know if people would be developing that as you get into October, November, even early December at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe not.
Yeah. I think a lot of stuff within the next couple of weeks is typically more of locals. Yeah, a lot of if you're playing a big family trip to go around Christmas time, you've been looking at this since, as you said, September or so. You've got this booked in, you've got them booked out well in advance. Where a lot of times, we got probably locals who are sitting there going, "Wow, these are the cheapest points that I've seen in 8 years. I'm going to jump on this because I'm 3 hours away. I'll drive down, stay for three nights, have a great time, and go back home."
Yeah. Let's talk about this confirmed reservations, because as you were saying the story, as we had talked off the air and exchanged before through text and whatnot, so it would be like the easy button for like a shopper, essentially, yeah. is what a confirmed reservation is. You're on social media, right? You're looking at a post. It would be like a poll in a Facebook group, right? And all you are required to do is look at the poll and you hit A or B. But your post literally says July 7th to July 15th. And all of a sudden you're sitting at home and you're like, hey, those dates kind of, yeah, I'm off. Those dates could work, right? And so it's the easy button. But when you were telling me this, I was like, but what if I don't want to stay at Old Key West? What? And it's like, yeah, just go online and like literally like search and type in your dates and it'll tell you what's available. But that will require I don't want to be critical of people, but that requires like an extra two or three steps. And right now getting an extra two or three steps out of people is like getting 100 steps. So you are literally offering the easy button.
Yes.
But the cool thing about that is, you know what? If that's what triggers the transaction and that's what allows you to take that vacation for your family, great. You know, that's wonderful. What happens, Scott, if you make a reservation though, or there is a reservation from a guy like me who rents points out? What happens if it doesn't sell? How do you get rid of that? What do you do with those as they get a little closer to the date? What's the battle plan there?
It all depends on when the points expire, because DVC points do have expirations. So normally what happens if we're getting close to a reservation and it has not sold yet, as long as the points are good for a little while, our team will go in there, we'll cancel the reservation for the DVC member, and we'll book something else a little further out. So you've got multiple times to possibly try to sell it before you run into issues. Mm-hmm. If the points are expiring, though, the best thing we could do is just try to discount them and keep promoting them until something hits. We had points that came in super, super last minute that we had. Actually, it was a confirmed reservation that came in, and it was last minute. The points were expiring within like a couple weeks. And we listed the reservation for sale like really relatively cheap, and it didn't sell. So we dropped the price again and said, unbelievably, this is still here. It didn't sell. And then we had somebody who wanted like the last three nights of the stay. So eventually we canceled the first three nights. We booked the DVC, the renter for the last three nights of the stay. We took those points. These points have been sitting here for a couple weeks now that without selling. We kept dropping the price, nothing. And it was a two bedroom, and typically two bedrooms aren't always the best sellers for us. Studios always rent out best. And so they took the last three nights, and my team went in there and they took those first three nights and they booked a studio, advertised it, discounted, and sold within 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Booked something else, studio, sold within an hour. And essentially they got through the whole first, the first half of that reservation's worth of points within a total of like 2 hours of the day. And the reservation had been sitting there for weeks. But once we took them, reassigned them to something that we thought would rent a little quicker for them, I mean, we just turned around and churned and burned it and sold them right away for the rent for the DVC member.
That's an interesting way to go and reconfigure that reservation for them. So there seems to be something that can be done, even if you're like, oh man, these are expiring, I'm in trouble at this point.
Oh, yeah.
There seems something that can be done for them. So
absolutely. Yeah. If you've got confirmed reservation, trying to find something that works better, discounting it, again, us promoting it. I mean, there's definitely ways to try to get, it's not just you're locked in. We will do everything that we can to try to go in there and get them rented for you. And our team has been doing this for a long time, so we know what kind of works best. And, it's sometimes a crapshoot, but I mean, you just do what you can. If sometimes something doesn't rent, you just book something else and you just keep going along until you get it done for the DVC member.
Yeah, I do want to put the asterisk in there that, hey, listen, you didn't hold on to those points. It wasn't you that made those points get into this vulnerable spot. You're trying to provide a solution, and sometimes it doesn't work out. It's business. It's people. So you're doing the best you can to figure that out. Right?
Yeah, there's sometimes people's points have expired in the past. Again, it's one of those things that we make money when we rent out the reservation, so it's in our best interest to get it rented out for you. So we're trying our best to rent your points because we have a team that we need to, pay for. They have families. Everybody needs to get paid. The DVC member gets paid. We get paid. So, it's in our best interest to get it done for you.
Good. Okay, let's talk about the buy and sell. What is the world of, I guess you'd say, DVC markets right now? What does that look like? Is it a good time to buy, a good time to sell? Is DVC been selling a lot recently? What's going on here?
Right now, it's as of December, it's currently a buyer's market. Prices have gone down a little bit over the past year or so. And this is also typically a slower time of the year. Mm-hmm. Typically, once the holidays are over, both on the rental side and on the resale side, business starts picking up. So, you know, if you hear this within the next, you know, week or two, you know, it's a great time to buy. And again, I'm not expecting a huge jump come January. But right now, it's been a little bit of a buyer's market. So I would think it's a good, if you're thinking of becoming a DVC member, now would be a good time to possibly start looking into it. And again, I don't think there's going to be a big – and normally if contracts start picking up, there's never an immediate increase in price. You know, everything moves up slowly. So right now everything's been priced relatively low for the past year or so. So I think it's a very good time to buy. And again, always buying towards the end of the year, November, December, things are always a little more quiet. And also anybody who's got – points for that year, like right now we're in 2023, so 2023 points, they're not going to get reimbursed for their maintenance fees because their points have already been available for this year, so nobody's paying for points. So buying towards the end of the year is always, in my opinion, a great idea, because a lot of times you'll get free 2023 points and the market's a little bit slower, so there's probably a little more negotiation room.
Well, I would think that if you're buying right now, this is going to sound predatory. I hate to use that word. It's not really the correct way to describe this. But if you're looking for a good deal, let's use that word, a person maybe selling might need money for Christmas, or they might look on the horizon and say, oh, heavens to Betsy, the dues are coming up in January. And you might even get the due statement very soon. And I need to get out of this, or I need to go and lessen these contracts or whatnot. Accurate, would you say?
100% accurate. Especially with the dues coming up, a lot of people don't, you know, they're going, okay, I've got a $1,500 bill coming up starting in, you know, February. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to pay that. So I'd like to try to sell my contract before then. We've had some renters recently who just renting their points going, I just rent them as quick as possible because I just want the money because I want to get, we had somebody who said, I just want to give my kids cash for Christmas this year. I don't know specifically why, but they said, I kind of want to sell this quickly. Let's discount the points just because let's get it out there. And I want to get some money in for the holidays. So yeah, good. Right before Christmas, a lot of times it's a great time to purchase because you can get some good deals.
Okay. Let's go over a few costs then, if you don't mind. Give me like a – let's shoot for 150 points. That's a 160 points, okay? Yep. So right now, 160 points, I tell you I'm looking for the best bang for the buck at 160 points. Where am I going to find the best value on property? So I don't want to go to Hilton Head, and I don't want to go to Vero Beach right now. That's a separate vacation. It's a different person. It's a different vacation that you're looking for. I want to stay on property. What's the best bang for the buck right now for about 150, 160 points?
Best bang for the buck for as long as I've been a DVC member has been Saratoga Springs. There's a couple others that are in there in the conversation as well. But Saratoga Springs, for having a later expiration, a 2054 expiration, lower maintenance fees, and a lower buy-in price. Again, it depends on if the contract is stripped, if it's got extra points. But right now, 160 points, Saratoga Springs, you're probably looking in the low hundreds. You know, maybe $105 a point to $115 a point.
Okay.
So that's always up there for best bang for the buck. And the majority of the points I personally own are Saratoga Springs as well, which can be used at any resort for reservations 7 months or less in advance.
You said a phrase there, and if you're not a DVC member, you might not have caught the phrase. When you said the points are stripped, that means I come to you as a seller and I say, I've got the Saratoga Springs contract. I've got 100 points at Saratoga Springs. And you're like, okay, but I can sell it now, but I've already committed for a vacation for the upcoming year. So all the points for 2023, or heck, all the points for 2024 are already taken out of the contract. So you're buying really this contract now, but you're not going to have access to any of the points until 2025 or 2024 if you want to borrow those points. Correct? Is that how you use
your strip? Yeah, exactly. Some sellers will strip the points out. not really, when we say strip, it normally doesn't mean the current year, which it can be, like 2023 points, but some will have used the 2024 points already. Mm-hmm. So only if a contract is missing the current points, or especially if it's missing the following year's points, the contract is, you know, quote, you know, it's stripped. It's been stripped of the points that a renter would potentially like to have. Which again, if you strip off the points, the value of the contract will go down. Whereas, you know, some contracts come loaded, meaning that they'll have, you know, this year's points, or they'll even have last year's points banked in already. So there'll be extra points that kind of come in for free. So the value of the contract will be higher.
Okay. If you buy a strip contract, does that include then, since he's already committed to the points, he's paying for his dues then, or they're paying for the dues of that year? Is that how it works?
If the points have been used, the seller will have to pay for the points that have been used already. They're responsible for that. So, you know, if you're buying a contract and, you know, it's a 150 point contract, but the seller has already used 75 of those points for next year, at the closing time, the seller will be responsible for reimbursing for those maintenance fees. 75 points.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. And oftentimes those stripped contracts can represent a reasonable value too, because they're not as desirable, right? When people buy in, they want to buy in and they feel like they want to use that contract immediately. And here you've got to wait. So represents a good opportunity to buy in sometimes, Scott?
It really depends on how you look at everything. What you said is 100% correct. You know, a stripped contract could possibly sit on the market for longer, so the seller could be more willing to reduce the price on it. Personally, when I've bought contracts in the past, I'm always looking for a loaded contract, because even if it's a little more expensive, I know that if there's extra points on there, I can always rent those points out, get money from that, and that will lower the price of the contract as well. So again, there's different ways to look at it, but what you said was 100% accurate. Again, those stripped contracts typically will sell for less and they'll sit there longer. So you could have somebody who's, again, not predatory, somebody's a little more desperate to sell the contract because it's been sitting there for a while and they're like, I just want this out of here at this point.
Okay. Give us a few other, I don't necessarily need point, but what else would represent a good buy opportunity right now? Animal Kingdom,
yep.
Beach Club, Boardwalk. Where else is good right now? What is a good value at this point?
Of those three, one of them is a very good buy. The other two, not great buys in my opinion. Animal Kingdom's a great buy as well. It has 2057 expiration. So a little bit later expiration, a little bit higher on the maintenance fees than Saratoga Springs. Saratoga Springs is always one of the lowest on maintenance fees. Animal Kingdom's in the middle towards the higher end because they got paid for the animals. But still relatively lower buy-in price. And I absolutely love Animal Kingdom as well. So Animal Kingdom's always a great value as well. Now, Boardwalk and Beach Club, both have, they're part of the original DVC resorts. So they all have 2042 expirations. So that's going to be coming up in the next 19 years. Mm-hmm. So at some point, the value of those contracts is really going to start dipping down. It just hasn't yet. Surprisingly, the only reason you would ever want to buy a Beach Club contract or a Boardwalk contract is if you want to stay specifically at those resorts, because they're priced, as Beach Club is more expensive than Boardwalk. So they're priced higher than the two that I just mentioned, but with a much, much, much earlier expiration, I mean, the value isn't there as much. Mm-hmm. But Beach Club is a highly desired resort. So if you want to stay at Beach Club, you really have to buy there. Boardwalk's very highly desired as well, a little bigger than Beach Club, so it's not as tough to get into. So if you're buying Beach Club or Boardwalk, you really want to stay at those resorts. If you're buying at Animal Kingdom or Saratoga Springs, I mean, that's an easy best bang for the buck. At 7 months, I could stay wherever I want as long as I'm, you know, don't plan on staying at Beach Club every time because you're going to be very, very disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, like Beach Club,
you're buying that for the 11-month booking threshold, exactly, as opposed to the 7-month.
Gotcha. Because it's not a great deal. Because they've still held on to the value because they're both in such a great location and they're great resorts, Beach Club and Boardwalk. So they've held on to their value, but you know, you've only got 19 years left. You know, you could buy there, or you could buy a newer contract that could have, you know, 45 years left. So you know, you're going to hold that value for much longer.
Much longer.
Like this is an old car. You know, it's only got so much left in it. You don't want to pay as much as you would for a brand new car.
Yeah.
Unless you really, really love that car, and you go, you know, yes, I understand that it's, you know, only has a little bit left, but this is my car. This is the car I've always wanted. This is, you know, this 65 Mustang. Mm-hmm. I want this car. I know it's going to die sometime soon, but I've always wanted that. So
that's a good analogy, Scott.
And it's never a smart buy. You never go, that's the best bang for the buck, paying, you know, 10 times what that car cost when it was brand new.
Yeah.
But you go, I've wanted that car, and that's the car I want to drive, versus going, you know, I could buy a brand new Toyota Camry for half the price, and I know it's going to last for 400,000 miles.
Well,
that's a great bang for the buck.
That's a really good thought. So I could appreciate that. That crystallizes it really well in my mind. Give me the worst bang for the buck on property right now. Where would that be?
Worst bang for the buck on property.
And I mean, you're in the business of selling these contracts. Yeah, but is it Riviera, Scott? Because I always think it's Riviera just because of the limited options to stay after you've bought it resale.
It's so tough. I'll throw out two because they're very, very different. Riviera is definitely on that list, I guess. Because Riviera has it's a brand new resort, so it has a late expiration. So it's going to hold value for a while, and it's got a low buy-in price, very low buy-in price for a brand new resort, because once you buy it on the resale market, you can only stay at Riviera. So that's nothing I would personally want to buy. The only one I'd rather put up there is Beach Club, just because with the 2042, there's a lot of 2042 expirations, but Beach Club is by far the highest price out of all of those. So I'd go, that's a bad bang for the buck for Beach Club. But again, you're not buying Beach Club for the bang for the buck. You're buying it because you say, I love Beach Club. They've got a great pool. They've got a great location. I want to stay there. You know, or sometimes people say, 19 years from now, I might not be around for that anyway.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, so I appreciate you tossing me out there.
Scott, the earbud fell out. We're not in a wind tunnel.
My apologies.
Scott, what is the average lifespan of a DVC owner? How long do people keep those contracts?
I know the lifespan of a DVC owner, but I can tell you how long they normally hold the contract.
78 years.
Most DVC owners typically pass around 75 years old. It depends on their how long they've been.
Dietary habits.
Chris is a vegetarian, so he's going to live to about 130.
190. That's my goal. No,
I got a couple years. The average DVC owner typically holds their contract. Over the years, they've said that number is about 10 years.
Okay.
So about 10 years, the DVC owner holds their contract. You know, most people say, a lot of people go in there and say, I'm never going to sell my contract. And there are a lot of people who are original old Key West owners who have never sold, and they say, I'll never sold. I'm going to ride this out for 50 years. But on average, they sell it for whatever reasons, for financial. They're not doing Disney the same way they used to. Unfortunately, some people get divorced. There's deaths. So 10 years is the average that Disney has said that most people hold their contracts for.
Scott, everybody buys the contract initially and says,
we're going to never sell it. This is it.
We're going to keep this. But you know what?
Some of my kids.
Look at your life and look at my life, as far as when our kids age and things change and interests change. So we all say that, and it'll always hold a special spot. But yeah, when you mix finances and your heart, those things often don't align. So you can do it, but yeah, it's
look how my life has changed. When I bought my contract, I was working for a bank and I was living in New Jersey and I got great vacations out of it. Now I live 5 minutes from Disney. I have a bunch of contracts I've accumulated over the years, and with my business, I own a bunch more. I mean, I've gone from, going to Disney once a year to traveling to Disney three times a year to living here where I go, I barely ever use my points for personal stays anymore. Mm-hmm. So now I typically rent out my points. So, I don't need as many contracts as I have because my lifestyle has changed. I mean, I went from living up north to literally around the corner from Magic Kingdom. So things do change. I never planned this. And my kids are getting older now. They might not be interested anymore.
Scott, that was what I was going to go with, right? I bought the contract. My kids were 6, and I was like, this is perfect. And as my kids turn 18, which is about right, because I bought it in 2011 here, they're not interested in the same type of vacations anymore. And that is life. And that just is what it is. So it's okay. It's okay to sell. There are people that want to pick those up. Anyways, all right. We're going to segue to the second half of the show, but I'm going to do it with a smooth professional segue. Your top 3 DVC resorts for Christmas decorations. We've talked about this in the past. I'm going to put you on the spot because you're going to leave one out and then people are going to ridicule you. So what are the top three resorts for Christmas decorations, Scott? Number three is?
I have to do them in this order. Oh, no.
That's
a good one. Some of this hurts me. Number three, and all three of these are amazing resorts. Number three, Animal Kingdom Jumbo House.
Okay, because? Give us three words. It's too tough. Give us a sentence to describe why.
Like three words, a really big tree. Yeah. They have a giant...
Nice decorations.
They have a giant Christmas tree in the lobby. The ones I'm going to name pretty much all involve ones that have the big Christmas trees because it's just so impressive when you walk in there. A lot of resorts like Beach Club or Boardwalk have smaller trees, or they'll have a small, like, little gingerbread carousel or a little gingerbread house. And all the Disney resorts are very nicely appointed for Christmas. But Jumbo House, when you walk in, you know, they've got a 40, 50-foot giant tree in the lobby and decorations around. It's just they're all around this big tree.
Number two.
Which this is going to upset people. I know a lot of people love this as number one, and it's hard to argue this as number one, but not being number one, Wilderness Lodge, which is Boulder Ridge or Copper Creek. Again, huge giant tree in the lobby, Christmas music, all garland stuff around the lobby. And what's especially nice about Wilderness Lodge is that the whole thing is Pacific Northwest themed. So having the woodsy feel with all the Christmas decorations, I feel really kind of lends into the atmosphere. So Wilderness Lodge, absolutely beautiful for Christmas as well.
Number one. Let me guess, the Days Inn on 192.
Bingo.
Number one.
Number one, and it's a tougher one, and I've moved this here over the years, is Grand Floridian. Because Grand Floridian has a huge Christmas tree, plus multiple smaller Christmas trees around the lobby, plus they've got a big gingerbread house in there, so... While it's not as homey and old-style Christmas as, say, Wilderness Lodge, which also has a very giant, as you know, fireplace right in the lobby as well. I mean, everything leads to this Pacific Northwest cabin-y Christmas type thing. But Grand Floridian is just so over the top with everything. While it's not a real old-fashioned feel, but between the giant tree and the smaller trees and the decorations and the gingerbread house, it's just that they've got so much stuff kind of packed in there that it's really hard to not choose Grand Floridian at number one. And I know a lot of people don't like Grand Floridian. They feel it's a little too uppity or snobby because it's an expensive resort to stay at. But just even just visiting the resort for the holidays is something you'd want to do because they do a fantastic job at Grand Floridian.
If you want to see pictures... So one of your employees, Debbie Allen, is currently there. She's there for...
Debbie is always here.
She's there for 2 weeks. Let me give credit to Debbie. She takes amazing pictures. So she probably takes, like everybody else, 1,000 and picks the top 20, but she takes amazing pictures. So join your Facebook group. It's Disney Vacation Club DVC Resales. Or join Edcot. She posted pictures there as well, too. There are some, like, jaw-dropping pictures of Walt Disney World at holiday time, but specifically Grand Floridian. And then she's got some great ones of the new Eat establishment, you know, over by
Disney Springs.
And she's got some amazing pictures of sunset and the World Showcase. So take a look for the photography alone. Anyways.
And she eats everywhere. She eats like, you know, I kept, again, being local, I'm trying to watch my weight, and I've got my kids. We don't eat out so much. She comes down here, and every day she's going to all these wonderful places and posting these great photos. And I live here, and I am so jealous of the way that she vacations down here. I'm like, oh, I so want to do that, but I'd also be 400 pounds if I ate like this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Christmas. I'm going to start calling you Mr. Christmas, Scott Ferrioli. You're sitting down. You're just looking to get into the holiday spirit, but things that make you happy. We're flipping on the Hallmark Channel, or we're flipping on anything that you have on DVD, and you have an amazing home theater. But let's talk about let's go with your top 10. I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's go with top 10 movies, and then we'll give some honorable mentions, if you don't mind, afterwards. These could be recent, these could be old school. I know you didn't prepare your list. You're going to have to go and just pivot really quickly here.
Yep.
Number 10, we're going to go from 10, number one.
I'm not going to go in a specific order if you don't mind, because I'm already not prepared for this. I can't possibly list these in reverse order in my head now.
Oh, man. I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, fine. We'll give you that concession.
If you want, all right. I'll give you like a top three or something.
Okay, let's do a top three, but in no particular order then, because he's got 50. Let's go with 10 great Christmas movies for Mr. Christmas, Scott Ferrioli.
Okay. Oh, man, I'll throw you a curveball right away. I'm going to start with The Grinches, because there are three Grinch movies, and I love all three of them. And they're all very, very different. Have you seen all three Grinch movies?
No. I'm a Christmas Grinch myself. I've only seen about 15 Christmas movies in my life, but I watch the same ones over and over and over again. So I'm not looking to expand my horizon in Christmas. So that's why I need you. I need your help. So explain why.
The original Grinch was an animated show that.
Oh, with Thurl Ravenscroft, of course. Yeah, I've seen that.
Exactly. Yeah, that one's a classic. I've watched that, 300 times over the years since I was a little kid. And then I'm getting old. I guess more than a decade ago, they did the Jim Carrey Grinch, which was live action Grinch, which is very different than the first one, but very well done. It's my family's least favorite Grinch. I still enjoy it. I like Jim Carrey. I think the whole thing is it's a fun Christmas movie. And then a couple years ago, they came out with another animated one with Benedict Cumberbatch as the voice of the Grinch, which is actually really, really well done. I think a lot of people might not like that one as much. Really, really well done. Side characters in that movie are really, really funny. Hmm. I mean, it's actually a really, really it's a funny movie. It's very enjoyable.
Okay, I see what you did there. You put three of them at number one there, at number 10. So I see what you did. All right.
I got sneaking in somehow.
Number nine.
Number nine, I'm looking at my list again, in no specific order. However, this is an old classic that I only watched for the first time probably 5 years ago, and it's instantly become a top 10 movie of mine just because it's old, homie-style movie, White Christmas. Hmm. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, White Christmas. Only watched it probably for the first time 5 years ago, but very entertaining movie. And again, it's shot like the 50s. I think it's 50s. It's 40s. I think it's 50s. Shot in the 50s. So it's still got that old style Christmas feel to it for me. And it's a very well done movie. A lot of dancing and singing in it. Maybe I could use a little less of that, but it's a very good movie.
You know what catches you? The very introduction when it says filmed in Technicolor. As soon as it says filmed in Technicolor, Scott's in. He loves it already.
I mean, you're saying that right now, and in my head, I'm picturing like the horns playing in the background at the start of the movie. I know exactly what it sounds like. I just traveled into that.
Yeah. Okay. Number 8.
Number 8.
Okay. Again, we're just giving you a spot to go and put movies in. We know these are not in particular order, but number 8.
Yes. Elf. Elf became a Christmas classic many years ago, and it's just a fun movie. It's not by far not an amazing movie. It's not one that I want to see multiple times every year, but Will Ferrell's fantastic in it, and it's a fun Christmas movie. Zooey Deschanel's character is very cute and sweet in the movie. Like it's an overall nice feeling movie.
Okay, number 7.
Number 7, I'm going to put in Love Actually. I'm not sure how much else we talk about each of these movies, but Love Actually is one you really shouldn't watch with your kids. There's some inappropriate scenes in it. There's nudity in it. It's vulgar in some parts, but very, very funny, well-done British Christmas movie. Absolutely great. It's a wonderful movie.
Wow. Okay. I think we're on number 6 right now, correct? We've had 4.
Possibly.
Yep.
I'm going to go with A Christmas Story. This could be closer. This is, if it's.
It could be number, it could be a top three, Scott.
This could be a top three. It's maybe closer. Maybe I should have left this for the top three. I'm not sure. But Christmas Story is an absolute classic. But again, that same shot in the 80s, but mimicking 40s, 50s style Christmas experience. I mean, I'm sure you've seen this many times as well. I think you've only seen 15 movies. I hope you've seen The Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah. Scott, as a matter of fact, the other day, so just a side story. We'll come back to number five. The other day, whenever I take the dogs out, we always say, go out and go potty. That's what we tell the dogs. And the dogs kind of get up, go to the back door, and they run out there, and they go potty in the yard. I kind of watch them come back in. And the other day, they ran into the house. And in my mind, I said, I got the freaking Bumpus's house. Right?
What the dogs just running around outside.
There's dogs running around from the yard. So.
Yeah, there's the Malik family. They have the dogs just patrolling the neighborhood, running people's houses for food.
That I would, if you asked me, like a top three, The Christmas Story would be one of my top three.
Yeah.
So good solid choice there. Number five.
I think that might be the top three. Okay. I'm going to help put these, I'm going to group two of these together because they go together. I've got two Muppets on here. Muppets Christmas Carol with good Michael Caine. Fantastically done. It's well done with Rizzo and Gonzo telling the story, and just they're hysterical. And I read online a while ago, they joke around about, you know, Michael Caine is like he's the main character, and he's everybody's just Scrooge. And he said, like, he plays it like, you know, the most serious, he's acting against Muppets, and he's as serious as you could do. Like, he's going up for an award. I think that's a great job in the movie. So Muppet Christmas Carol is great. With also one that's much less known is Muppet's Letters to Santa, which I find both these are on Disney Plus. I've watched this one for years. I've enjoyed it. One of the things I always liked about it is that in the beginning of the movie, they go to the post office and Miss Piggy complains that line's not moving. It's like a disgrace. And, you know, what would Mayor Bloomberg do about, you know, she complains that Mayor Bloomberg needs to fix this. And he turns around and he's in the line and he says, you know, Miss Piggy, the one thing that New Yorkers are known for is being polite. And I worked for Bloomberg. At a college, my first job was at Bloomberg Financial Markets. And then he was the mayor of New York. So I have a little tie with that one as well, but that's a very well done movie. It's got Whoopi Goldberg in there. There's a lot of cameos, Uma Thurman, but very, very fun Christmas Muppet movie. So those two Muppets are in there together.
Nice. Number four.
Number four. Oh, gosh, I should do this. I'm going to go into I'm going to go into touch back on this. Christmas. No, no, I'm going to save this one. I'm going with Spirited. I know brand new movie. Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell came out 2 years ago. I know there's people in the EDCOT community, I'm looking specifically at JJP, who hates this movie. This is a fantastic Christmas movie. Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell are hysterical. They're singing, they're dancing. It's absolutely well done. It's a Christmas carol in the new ages with social media and influencers type stuff like that. I mean, it is, if you give it a chance, it's from Apple TV. It is a wonderful, wonderful movie. If you like any sort of singing and dance, I'm not a huge singing and dancing guy or Broadway guy, but if you're okay with singing and dancing in a Christmas movie, you have to check out Spirited. It is really, really well done.
Nice. All right. In order, 3, 2, 1, and let's just say Christmas. A Christmas Story could appear in any one of these.
But okay. I'm saying Christmas Story is probably 3.
Well, 3B. Let's say 3B. We'll say 3B. For Christmas Story. All right, 3 then. Give us an order.
I've got my top two, and I'm just trying to pull out 3 now. I'm going to start with this one. Oh, God, that one's good, too. There's so many. I have so many, like, side movies here that nobody has ever heard of that I just love watching. I'm going to go with Hallmark Movies' 5-Star Christmas. It's about a lady who comes back, you know, she works in the big city, comes back to her family home for Christmas, and her dad has turned their absolutely beautiful, beautiful home into a bed and breakfast. And she's surprised, but she has no idea about this. This is a big surprise. And the bed and breakfast is failing, and there's a special bed and breakfast. There's a person who does the tours of bed and breakfast who happens to be in their town, and they're hoping that this lady stops by, B. Turner, to come check out their bed and breakfast, and all sorts of silliness and craziness unfolds. But it's just, I like the idea. I've always joked around or thought about opening a Christmas bed and breakfast, just an Airbnb or bed and breakfast that just focuses on Christmas stuff. And this is just, includes my bed and breakfast thing, Five-Star Christmas. It's not probably a top three movie, honestly. I'd go back and I'd swap it out, and I would put
probably, makes you happy. It's okay. You don't got to do it. Funny. It makes you happy. It's good enough for me, brother.
Christmas Story is number three. The Christmas Story is number three, but
number two.
Number two is Home Alone. Mm. And it's, I think there's probably a lot of people who hate Home Alone. I love Home Alone because it's got the whole Christmas feeling to it. It's a comedy as well. It's fun. It's silly. It's fun. The whole premise is absolutely ridiculous. You know, that the parents left the kid at home. He's got to fight off burglars with his elaborate traps. It's Christmas to me. It's something I've watched for years. And I put Home Alone 2, not that it falls in the same category, but Home Alone 2, for the record, is, I watched it for the first time, I think, last year. Really underrated movie. It's actually very well done. Home Alone 3, I think, is supposed to be terrible. I watched it, wasn't very good. Home Alone 2 was actually very well done. They come to New York, and they hang out in the Plaza, which is right where I used to work. I worked right behind the Plaza, and they go in Central Park, where I went in every single day. So it's a little, you know, reminds me of home a little bit as well. But Home Alone, number two on my list.
Scott, I can't argue with that. You want to know why? I think we have that same thought. You and I are very similar in age, and that was still when we were, you know, at the age where we still enjoyed that. And it has that distinctive 80s feel to the movie. Yes. It's in Beatrice's probably top three, so it still has staying power, you know. So, okay.
I'm guessing you don't even have to ask me. Based on the movies I've given you right now, can you tell me what my number one is?
I would probably say It's a Wonderful Life.
Ooh, good guess. Haven't watched that movie in 30 years.
Okay. What's number one then, my friend?
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase. I'm guessing you don't like that movie so much.
No, I do like the movie. I was just going with nostalgia. It's a Wonderful Life, which is a real emotional Christmas movie. It's a very good Christmas movie.
Shannon and I talked about today, because I was like, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street. I don't know if I've ever seen Miracle on 34th Street, unbelievably, for somebody who loves Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And It's a Wonderful Life are movies like I think I watched maybe, you know, when I was 10. It's the only time maybe I saw it. It never really pulled me. They're in black and white. So I just maybe just I never got into a lot of these are movies that I grew up on that I, you know, I still hold dear to my heart. Whereas mm-hmm. maybe those were black and white. And as you know, a 10-year-old, or maybe those are a lot more serious, you know, like in a Wonderful Life, the guy's ready to kill himself in black and white. And I was 10-year-old me is going, I'm not watching this. So never gripped onto me. Whereas Christmas Vacation with the silliness. And I mean, I lived in Long Island. I had a Chicago Blackhawks jersey because I love that jersey from Christmas Vacation. And then there's also in Great Outdoors with John Candy wearing it. And it's a beautiful sweater. I mean, that's a beautiful jersey by far. Most nice one out there. But I mean, I had one because I watched a Christmas Vacation. I wanted a Blackhawks jersey because Chevy Chase was wearing it and Russ was wearing it in the movie. Just National Lampoon's Vacation. Again, watching it as an adult, you got to be careful because there's some cursing in there for, you know, for little kids. You got to watch out because I want my kids to grow up watching this. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's some bad words in here.
There's some bad words in there, but not too bad.
They dropped the F-bomb once in a PG movie about Christmas. You know, they say some inappropriate stuff on there. You got to be careful.
As far as marketing opportunities after Christmas, though, it might be like one of the most heavily marketed movies afterwards as far as ornaments and like shtick and like moose mugs and stuff. There's Christmas Vacation stuff everywhere.
Yeah, we have a ton of Dickens Village stuff. I mean, they've got a whole Christmas Vacation, you know, Dickens style, you know, ceramic villages that they came out with several years ago. That I look at it, I go, we've got, I'm looking at my right at it. I've got 3 6-foot tables set up with fake snow in them and like almost 50 houses. Wow. And there's a skating pond and look at all sort of stuff over there. But I was like, they've got similar stuff, but it won't fit in there. My wife would never let me put a Christmas Vacation thing in there.
All right. Honorable mentions. You got time for just a few honorable mentions. Let's boil them down. You'll have to hit them up fast here though. You got about.
How long do I got?
A couple minutes here. So let's go with maybe 5 or 6 of them.
Okay, but most of these are Hallmark movies that nobody's ever heard of before. Christmas in Rome, specifically like that one. Now, I like that one in the past. It's Lacey Chabert, who's one of my absolute favorite Hallmark movie actresses. She's that girl next door type look. She's sweet. She's nice. I love Lacey Chabert. She's wonderful. She's in a ton of the Hallmark movies. Christmas in Rome, she's a tour guide in Rome. After going to Rome in Italy this past year, I've watched Christmas in Rome probably four times already this year. Great, fun movie. Another one, Christmas in the Smokies, up in the Smoky Mountains, because we love going to Dollywood. That one, this one is the side characters are hysterical. This is a silly movie. It's one that I think I absolutely hated it the first time I watched it, and then I had to put it on the next morning to watch it again because I wanted to see a little bit more. And that one has grown on me completely. There's Christmas in Dollywood, same thing. It's shot in Dollywood, has Dolly Parton in the movie. It's Danica McKellar, who also is in a lot of the Hallmark movies. Very, very good as well. New one, brand new this year, Jeannie, which with Melissa McCarthy, she's done a lot of very funny stuff. She's always sticky and funny. Watched that one already a couple times this year. Very, very well done. Jeannie is I'm trying to think what platform it's on. Maybe it's on Peacock. Very, very funny movie. Again, that just came out this year. Last one on my list that's decent, Falling for Christmas with Lindsay Lohan. So I try to pick ones that are enjoyable movies that nobody's probably really heard of. That's a Netflix movie. She's a socialite. Her dad owns the ski resort. She falls in love with the guy who owns the small ski resort in town that's competing with them. She gets amnesia, and she ends up falling for the guy. It's actually a very well done movie for Lindsay Lohan in a Christmas movie. So those are my honorable mentions. Most of them, probably most people have never heard of, but fun movies nonetheless.
A few movies you didn't mention, Scrooge with Bill Murray. So
Scrooge is a good one.
Might be in the list. Scrooge. And then if I could throw a top three, and I would have had A Christmas Story, I'd have had Home Alone, and a movie that you probably have never even watched in your lifetime. You have watched a variation of it. The Christmas Carol movie. But specifically the one that was filmed in England with the lead actor. His name is Alistair Sim.
Okay.
So the reason why I like that one is, Scott, as I was growing up in Chicago, after the presents were given out on Christmas Eve, on PBS, they would throw that movie up with Alistair Sim. And it would be late at night, like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And I just happen to remember that. And even now, it's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube. It like throws me back like 40 years like that.
I mean, exactly. That's why there's a lot of these like newer movies that I like and I watch every single year, but my top three, it's always the nostalgia, the stuff I remember as a kid every year watching National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, every year watching Home Alone, the original, Grinch, you're going, oh my God, I've watched this. I mean, I know exactly where every commercial is supposed to be because we had it on VHS and we recorded it off of TV. So like, now I'm watching it and I'm going, oh, this is where it would normally cut to commercial because I know where they were because I memorized the VHS of it.
Special shout out to those claymation ones, the Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Frosty the Snowman, and whatnot, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Those are really good too as well. Yes. Those are Rankin and Bass. Those specials are really good too as well.
I'm sure we missed a ton of people yelling at us right now going, how could they possibly leave this one off?
We're going to go on EdCat. So do that. Whatever we've mentioned now probably 20-ish movies. But what have we forgotten? What's on your list that we haven't mentioned? We'd like to hear that. So feel free to go and comment and let us know. Scott may have seen it. I probably haven't, and I'd like to learn about it. So,
I've seen 15 Christmas movies. How is that possible?
Well, Scott, once I get into the certain genre, it's like, okay, I've watched what I like you just mentioned. I shouldn't give judgment. Christmas in Rome, Christmas in the Smokies. Like I'm seeing a trend there, but I should watch. I know that. I know that. Anyways. Join us again in EdCot or join Scott's Disney Vacation Club group, Disney Vacation Club DVC Resales. If you have questions on buying, selling, renting, or if you just generally like to go and learn more about it, feel free. You can find him, Cassandra, Jason, Ty, Shannon, the whole crew, Debbie, they're all there. So, all right. So for Scott and for myself, I'd like to thank you. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.